以下节目内容纯属主持及嘉宾个人意见，与本台立场无关。
各位听众朋友，你哋好，你听紧嘅系原网台嘅非常舞台，我系你哋嘅节目主持 Grace 陈纪贤。你哋好，今日咧我哋请到嘅嘉宾咧就系肚皮舞嘅专家 May Jane Tilia。May Jane 咧，佢系在香港已经是教了肚皮舞22年了，他已经在1989年的时候是首批在香港执教肚皮舞的外籍老师来的。因为 May Jane 他是外籍人士，所以我们今次的专访就会是用英文进行的，送上给大家 May Jane 的专访。各位听众朋友你们好，你听的是原网台的非常舞台。今日星期我哋为大家介绍就系 Belly Dance 肚皮舞。咁我请嚟嘅嘉宾咧，呢个嘉宾犀利啦，就系22年前咧，1989年嘅时候就已经喺香港开始佢嘅肚皮舞嘅教授嘅。咁呢位咧就系 May Jane Tilia。OK， 好啦，我哋送上 May Jane 嘅访问。May Jane, hi, welcome.
Hey there.
Thanks for coming. You are the first female guest in our program. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for inviting me to Source Radio.
Yeah. Okay. Then, May Jane, can we start? Let's start with the. To me, thinking is the belly dance is very attractive. It's captivating. It's sexy and feminine. This kind of dance.Is it so, or what is the attractiveness of this kind of dance?
Well, I think you said it. But I think for when I talk to the students why they come, mm-hmm. they say those things. They say, you know, they're attracted to the feminine elements, mm-hmm. the softness. Mm-hmm. And then when I think once you start talking to the dancers that have been studying for a while, like maybe 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, you say, why are you still doing this dance? Mm-hmm. I think the most common answer they'll say is that they really love the music.
All right.
Yeah, so it started off maybe very physical, oh, beautiful mm-hmm. costume, mm-hmm. sexy, nice figure, I want to be mm-hmm. like that kind of perfect mm-hmm. figure. But as they evolve, I think they start to fall in love with of the culture mm-hmm. and the music and the rhythm and, mm-hmm. and that hypnotic, it just, I think, draws you into it.
All right. The music, you mean the Arabic music? Is it? Mm-hmm. Are they used, I mean, the ballet dance, do they only use the Arabic music or other kinds of music?
Yes. I think mostly, like, we're listening, at least at my studio, we're listening to Arabic music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, there's more and more like fusion of sound. And I think even like belly dancing is a fusion dance mm-hmm. already. So you're going to get more and I think the more you study belly dancing, you can start to see all the elements that maybe fall under the umbrella of belly dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It like for even the name, I was just giving a lecture a week ago about what we call this dance. So mm-hmm. I think in Hong Kong, most ladies know what we're doing as belly dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, the other name that I used to use was Middle Eastern dance to describe what I'm teaching or what I'm doing.
Okay.
And so if we talk about Middle East, then we're talking more like Arabic speaking countries.
Okay.
However, belly dancing is so, not only is it the Arabic speaking places like in Egypt or North Africa,
mm-hmm.
There's also, we're talking about Greece and Turkey mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. those other places too.
Mm. Okay. Then is it for belly dance, you mean the fusion dance, right? It's a Middle East or what country is it? Come from? Is the Middle East or North Africa or Turkey? Because
yeah.
I heard from some ballet dance teacher, they
yes.
said it's come from Egypt, and then it's mm-hmm. come from someone say it's from Egypt, and then someone said it's from Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and someone is Middle East, and then actually I don't know how to classify the difference between ballet dance and also Middle East dance and also
yeah.
Indian dance.
I think yeah. and now plus there's I think in Hong Kong, most people know it as belly dancing.
Okay.
If in Arabic, to be honest, there's no word that says belly dancing.
Oh, okay.
So what you'll hear is they'll say, talk about Rakshaki in Arabic, which means the dance of the East. So, and a direct translation would be, or like dance of the East, or Europeans will call it Oriental dance. But I think the other thing that I can tell you what we're doing more and more is we're doing women's dance.
All right, women's dance.
And I think if you start to say, oh, what we're doing is women's dance, it kind of opens up another door or another choice of possibilities.
All right, okay. That means, is there a difference between Egypt and also Turkey belly dance?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So what is the difference? Is
I think musically, culturally, there's a difference. I think maybe for, and then also there's the thing that makes it the same. Like, there's something that's a common thread that whether, like, oh, we see belly dancing in Morocco and we see belly dancing in Tunisia. You know, there's something the same, and then there's something also different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But as the audience, how can you tell the difference? Is it much? And then can you?
Then I have to get really like technical academic about what we're doing or what we're talking about.
Okay.
So
Maybe it's from the what kind, like the gesture. Is there something about the rhythm? It's like, is there a difference between like Egyptian, that one, the one from Egypt, it's slower or faster, or they are concentrated and their arms?
Yeah, okay. I think, let me make, I think maybe like belly dancing is a very broad word. And Rakshaki is something, if you say that, or Oriental dance, people will, I think the first picture in their mind is they're going to see this beautiful lady in the beautiful costume that, you know, like the sequins and the beads and the bare belly on the stage dancing to maybe at an orchestra. So if this picture of this Oriental dancer that's performing Rakshaki, then there's this whole intellectual protocol of music that she will perform to. So the music will have an entrance, an introduction, and then you know, it could, and then there's all these different styles that we can choose.
Okay.
And so, and then I think that's the part where, oh, you know, maybe we took a little bit from Lebanon because it, you know, our audience tonight is Lebanon or Lebanese, so you know, maybe we're going to throw in the Debki.
Okay.
Or, oh, you know, we want to get that flavor of Morocco, so we're, you know, the drummers are going to kick in the Moroccan sixes. Or, oh, there's, you know, we have guests that come from the Gulf, so we better add some Khaliji. So, like, all these elements, like the musical arrangers, they will put it into the belly dancers' music.
Okay.
And so that's what gives it really so much diverse and, like, really exciting. There's so much possibilities. Yeah.
That means for the belly dance teacher, it's... Actually, if you have, you have to know all kinds of belly dance.
You should. And it's like, I think, a teacher that's really, really wants to know, learn about all these things, then the class, like the dance studio, like we don't have to sit behind desks. We're talking about different countries and different customs, and we're learning it within our dancing class. It's actually a really lovely, rich thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, Mei Jian, can I know what is the difference? Because to me, I'm not a belly dance expert. And to what I think and to what I can see, I found it like belly dance and also Hawaiian dance and also the Bollywood.
Yep.
They are quite similar. Okay, what's the difference in between them? Like Bollywood and also Bollywood is India, and then India, and then belly dance, is it rooted from India?
So, I think the terminology belly dancing, you know, can come under the heading of Middle Eastern dance. So already we're talking like a different, like we're listening to Indian Egyptian Arabic music, Arabic rhythms. Bollywood is we know from India, from the mm-hmm. Indian movie business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then plus the Bollywood dancing, I think that we see them now, it's so much fusion. There's so much modern elements into it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like really fighting to find the Indian elements in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, also the Hawaiian dance.
And then Hawaiian is like, okay, so now we're way in the Pacific, mm-hmm. in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawaiian, like, I actually teach Hawaiian, and I studied Hawaiian dancing. So okay. I think you can ask any of the students at our studio, that like, it's like a different headspace.
Is the Hawaiian dance moving there? Buttons very fast, and that's the difference, and then they don't have slow motion to what I can.
Oh my goodness, it's kind of almost the opposite.
It's
Hawaiian
opposite.
Hawaiian is
slower.
They're working slowly, under control. I mean, as a belly, like, we have also different tempos. I think there's also the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Hawaiian also is so diverse, and it's I think there's like, you can, it's a stereotype is the tourism Hawaiian dancing, or if you want to learn like properly Hawaiian.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
And technique and everything like that, and the stories and the culture of uh-huh. why you're doing something, why you're telling the like the stories with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something entertaining or it's something historical mm-hmm. or something like an initiation, there's just like a lot behind it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Then in that case, can you tell us briefly on the technique required for ballet dance? And then because our audience and some of them, they might not know about ballet dance. They only know about the beautiful costume mm-hmm. and also the beats and also the sways and also the veils and mm-hmm. nothing else. Can you tell us what is this?
Okay, I think if I kind of like have to just in general, some of the basic techniques that makes belly dancing
yes.
and not like the others,
uh-huh.
We have the undulations.
Mm.
I think undulations, everything that's, and all the figure eights and all the circles, because then you see everything, that movement through the abdominals, right?
Mm.
And so then undulations, figure eights, circles are all those smooth, fluid
mm-hmm.
movements and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And then for you to execute it,
mm-hmm.
then you have to really be in touch with your abdominal muscles, your mm-hmm. upper and lower abdominals,
mm-hmm.
your obliques,
mm-hmm.
your lower back muscles, upper
yes.
back. You have to know how to work your gluteals maximus and uh-huh. also adductors.
Okay.
To really internalize the look.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means mm-hmm. as simply saying it's as body isolation.
Yeah.
Is it body isolation?
Body muscle isolation. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then what's the difference? Is it different mm-hmm. for body isolation for like the jazz and also the modern dance? They do lots of isolation. And then is it the ballet dance isolation is focused on the lower body? I mean,
we use the whole body. I think, again, it's just that very not very good description of what we do, like that word belly dancing.
Uh-huh.
So we actually used every part of our body when we're dancing.
To me, yeah. because I yeah. have learned, mm-hmm. I have tried a few lessons in ballet dance.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is, although I know Chinese dance, I know Latin dance.
Yes.
But I still find it very difficult to move that figure eight in the eyes when I'm doing the isolation exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it seems that is there a special technique. And I have a friend who is doing ballet dance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just learned it.
Yeah.
And then after one lesson, she quit it. It's because her backbone, and her spine got some a little slightly problem.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then when she's doing it, and then after the isolation exercise, because it's only the first lesson, and then she find it very painful. And is it something, we need to have a very, our muscles should be healthy and our muscles should be not that stiff because like you know nowadays the OL they're very stiff backs.
Yep.
And is it the requirement that they must bear in mind the learners?
I think you know what you just said to me, I just heard it yesterday. Oh. Someone was asking me, "Oh, you do belly dancing? Like, aren't you like, don't you? Aren't you afraid you might hurt your back?"
Yeah.
So you know, this is why we have teacher training.
All right. Okay.
Because the teachers really have to understand, like, how to protect themselves and how to protect the students. And so, if someone says, "Oh, my first lesson, I can't move my back anymore, or I hurt my knee," then there's something kind of missing in that lesson that should have been addressed.
Do you think that is the warm up? Is that they're not doing enough warm up?
It could be. I wasn't at that lesson, so I don't know. I don't, or maybe there was no correction about the posturing, or it might have been like they think drilling, like actually drilling is good, but if you drill in the wrong way and you keep doing the same thing again and again, then it's a repetitive bad thing, repetitive injury. So yeah, it could be, or in the plus, it could be that student too wasn't being aware, like I think it's two way, right? Student, all teacher, right. The receiver and who's giving it. So there's a lot of thing. So the point is that I think you have to learn properly and not be in a hurry too. I think we're kind of, this society is very like instant gratification. They you want to learn how to shimmy in what, you know, in the first lesson and all that stuff. And I think that we have to take it easy. Like take it easy and just like, you know, learn the muscles, muscle groups, and be happy, and it's not competitive. Then, and the point is, belly dancing is supposed to be really good for you. It's supposed to be good for your back. It's supposed to be really, you know, good for your legs and your knees. So I think the most rewarding things that I hear from, I don't mean to like advertise myself, but it's not more, not that my my students say, "Oh, I'm such a great dancer because of you, Mei Jen." It's more when they come up and say, "You know what? My back doesn't hurt anymore. You really helped me this way." That's my satisfaction. Teaching.
Okay, then how long do you think that a learner, a fresh learner, how long does she take? It would take for her to get familiar, and then for the older exercise or the strokes. So how long do you think?
Yeah, so I think this is, because now we're talking about how to like have like a system for learning or a system for teaching that, you know, can grow organically. So like I think one, you got to give those girls an 8-week course just to get a feeling like what it's about, and you get to try all the, you know, some of the movements, like we said, isolations or undulations or circles and all that stuff. Try the shimmy. They have to try it, and then they have to, you know, we have to actually go carefully and about the muscle groups, so they, because then we set them up for a lifetime of dancing. It's not, I'm not looking at the 8 weeks, but I think for, you want to do this your whole life. And so normally after the 8 weeks, then the students can choose, they can continue to do the that level for maybe a three more sessions. And then there's always the ones that can't wait. Oh, we want to go to the next level. Well, kind of like, okay, go. You can go. I'm not the police. But I think you can see the students that know they're a little bit mature. They know what they want, and they can find their satisfaction.
Okay. You said that just 8 weeks, that means it's once a week, 1 hour of practice per week?
Normally that's how they start, right?
Yes, yes.
Of course, twice a week you're going to learn, like the learning curve suddenly goes up for twice a week. Once a week it's kind of like, oh, each time we're going to have to start again, kind of at the beginning review, and then we can make a little progress. Twice a week, really, the progress really makes a difference.
Then how can it help your knees, and also your just now what you said is it helps you to cure your backs. And then your is will benefit for your legs and then so for limbs. In what sense?
For our belly dance for fitness courses, we're actually on the floor. We're on the mats. To get, and just to get the body awareness, like if you want to learn how to do like the belly roll and all those things. I get the most success.
Start with the floor exercise first.
It's kind of like a, like our mat work is like, I almost want to call it Pilates, like half belly and half Pilates. We're we're fusing both together. Yeah.
All right. Okay, then let's talk about the props. I can see many props they are using. What kind of props the ballet dance normally they will use?
I think the veil, you know, people kind of associate the, you know, the dance of the seven veils. So we got veils. Finger symbols, though, the zils, or zils in Turkish, the sagat in Egyptian Arabic. I think that's what people think, visualize when you say belly dancer.
Okay.
And so it's not even a prop, it's a musical instrument.
Oh, right.
So then, you know, you have to, one, you have to learn the skill, the coordination, but then you have to put it on the music, and that's
I think the music is difficult to count. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I don't know why, because I was like a music major before I got into dancing.
Okay.
So like for me, it's like, how come you guys don't get this? And so it really took me a while to think, oh, we really have to go back to the basics, to like how to listen for the beat, find the downbeat, listen for the rhythm, listen for the tempo, listen for the phrasing, like all that stuff.
I find it very difficult to hear it because I've learned, I've listened to a few ballet dance music before, and then, frankly speaking, they make no difference to me.
Wow.
Every piece is the same, but for me as a dancer, it's difficult to grasp. I mean, the rhythm and also the phrases, and it's not that easy. And then they have a typical style that's really needs some time to study.
Yeah, I think it depends on this choice of music. So I think the higher level, the music is so intellectual. But for the beginners, I mean, we're doing our best to get some basic beats.
Always.
You know, just kicking the bass.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about those learners when they are quite weak in hearing the music? Because for ballet dance students, most of them are adults already, grown up already.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's not kids and not teenagers.
Yep.
And then they might not have very strong musical background.
Yes.
And
yes.
What to do?
Yeah, so then...
Is it difficult?
It is, but I think then we acknowledge it and just be very patient and very... sympathetic, or having just having the compassion that it's not that you're not smart, or you know, it's just that OL, they work so hard, and you know, maybe their parents couldn't afford for them to take piano lessons when they were little. So I think we all have the chance to get the chance to learn these skills. I think it's just a matter of the teacher has to make time.
Oh, right.
And it's like, so it gets beyond the physical. Then you have to stop moving your body or stop using your eyes on the mirror. But you have to stop and listen to the music. Listen to you start, and listen for that part where you're going to do that, whatever, you know.
Okay.
And then suddenly they actually love it more.
Okay. All right. Then for the veils, I always see... those using those ballet dance performance on stage using the veils, and I find it very pretty. And is there any meaning for that, or using veils, or I mean in the Egypt, okay, or middle dance, Middle East dance,
if you look at the old classic. Egyptian movies, the dancer uses it just for the entrance.
Okay.
She holds it in her hands for maybe like 60 seconds, and then she lets it go. And then it's just like all other like fusions, or it evolves.
Okay.
And so now you can see the dancers are doing so many, can do so many different kinds of figures.
Yes.
With the veil. And they borrow, I think, really... you know, I think especially for like this part of the world, then the dancers are borrowing what they learned from Chinese dancing. Don't you think, like ribbon dance or silk, they can borrow that element and put it into as an interpretive belly dance, veil belly dance.
Okay, being an expert in belly dance, do you can you accept that? I like, because what I found in YouTube, I can see one ballet dancer is using fan with long ribbons.
Yes.
And then to my mind, it's just come in a second that, oh, it's Chinese dance. Yeah. It's a mix of fusion of Chinese dance and ballet dance. Mm-hmm. And what do you think? Do you accept that? Or will you encourage your students to borrow this kind of props from other kind of dance into the ballet dance?
I think, the student should know where the belly dance came from originally.
Yes.
And I think any fusion, it will continue. Like you can see, right? It's popular. That fan is really popular.
Okay.
And I think it's because there's probably dancers that are doing it well.
All
they're
right.
doing it with technique and with timing and artistic sensibility. Mm-hmm. So I think anything done well, it will continue. It, like if say someone else thought, oh, I have this really great idea to dance with the shovel, but if they don't do it gracefully, it will not continue.
All right.
So I think, you know, you'll see I've seen on the YouTube, dancers dancing with you know, like cowboy, cowgirl, you know, like we don't see that continuing, right?
Okay.
So I think if it's something done in good taste, it can.
All right.
But the same thing too for me, if I see this fusion, I have to hear it in the music too. I want to hear, okay, why did you put that veil or that fan veil? Like, is it supposed to be Chinese? Then I really want to hear some Chinese element in the choice of music.
All right.
I just don't want them to do it for no reason at all.
Okay.
Yeah, and the same, I've seen dancers go, oh, we're using this tango music and you know, we're doing the belly dancing at the same time, but okay, but like you're dancing the tango music, well, why is that, like why are you doing the belly on it?
Okay.
So if there was something like the arrangement was, you know, in the music or something that it has to make sense. I wouldn't just pull a prop out of nowhere and just put it in the dance. Yeah,
that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the costume.
Mm-hmm.
The costume, pretty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it, but sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a contradiction against the Middle East culture where the people, the women there are all dressed up? And I mean, you know, they all enclosed their body totally. And then how come it's in the ballet dance they're so sexy?
I know. I heard that the more the society is closed, more conservative, then the expression, like in the entertainment side, is more like opposite.
Oh.
I've heard it. So it's like a paradox.
Yes.
It's like whatever they're not allowed to do, like in their homes and the street, or then it's really going to come out on. And not only I think the same again, if we want to go back talking about like the Bollywood and the movies, like India is so conservative for the women, you know, they also have to be covered up. And those actresses, like they're like really like so sexy and wearing like, you know, the costumes like that. I think it's just that kind of expression.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mei Jiang, is it difficult to, I mean, in Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is a Chinese culture.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it difficult to encourage your students to dress like this for the performance? You know, because every time the ballet dance performance, most of the time they are not at stage. They are just something in a party room.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kind, and then would you, I mean, 22 years ago, by the time you start ballet dancing, or when you start the show, is it difficult to persuade your students to do this? How's their reaction?
I think for the younger generation, they don't mind.
Okay. It's just I'm too conservative.
Yeah. And then I think, maybe everybody's different, to be honest. Like, but in the old, like when I first started, I can tell you, oh, you know, we have to be more covered up, can't be that daring. Yeah. But now, it's not. They don't mind. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially in these few years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind taking swimsuits photos everywhere. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Yeah, during performance, how to dress.
I think it's for me as a teacher and choreographer, then of course I'm going to dictate what they're wearing.
Is there any bottom line?
I think it has to go with what we're doing. I mean, like, am I doing, okay. Is it a folkloric show, or, you know, is it oriental? Is it, yeah, so okay. it will dictate what they're wearing.
All right, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, then imagine, let's take a break.
Okay.